It's interesting she sang that song. I didn't tell her what I was preaching on this morning. But let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Almost in the middle of the Bible, I find Psalms and Proverbs. Proverbs is written, says, for to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, the young man knowledge and discretion, and to understand a proverb, the fear of the Lord, and it says that God will bless. God will bless. Proverbs chapter 4, if you will. I'm going to, even though it's a little long, for the sake of the message, you're going to read the entire proverb. Proverb number 4. Good to have you here this morning. Verse number 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And he's not just talking about someone who's less than 16 years old. He says, now listen to me. We're all in the process of growing, and we're all in the process of learning. And he says, I want you to pay a real close attention to some things we're going to say. Why? Verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." What I'm giving to you is important. This is going to help you. Don't walk away from this. Verse 3, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." He says, this is not something that's just a passing whim. He says, I was taught this. He says, if you'll do what I tell you to do, you're going to be able to have a life. And my guess is by this time he's saying, son, I've been through this. I've lived this. Trust me. You want to hear what I have to tell you. Verse 5, "Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not." Get it and don't let it go of it, what he's saying. "Neither decline from the words of my mouth." Don't just kind of let it slide. Don't let this be in the forefront now and then just kind of over the years just kind of let everything just kind of slip away. So don't let it decline. Verse 6, "Forsake her not," wisdom that is, "and she shall preserve thee." Love her. Love wisdom. She shall keep thee. Put a guard around. Put a hedge around you. Put a fence behind you. She's going to save you from a lot of problems. She's going to keep the wolves out, if you will. Verse 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding." In other words, know how to use it. The wisdom is the insight of what's right, what's wrong, what should be happening. And he says, in the meantime, get some understanding. Verse 8, "Exalt her, and she shall promote thee." He says, you make a lot. I mean, make a big deal out of wisdom. Make a big deal out of the Word of God. Make a big deal out of truth. And be honest with you, you make a big deal out of knowing what wisdom is, wisdom's going to make a big deal out of you. By the way, if you're really wise, you're not looking to be a big deal. What he says, he's going to promote you. He said, you're going to get somewhere. You know, listen, sometimes in lives we just feel like we're running on a treadmill, we're working, we're sweating, we're putting forth a lot of energy, and we're not getting anywhere. He says, listen, he said, you make a big deal out of the wisdom of God, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. You grab a hold and say, this is my love of my life. I want to know truth. Love your Bible. Says, you know what? She's going to bring you to honor. Verse 9. "She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." People will start seeing you're wise. This person knows what they're doing. Verse 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many." Tell me what, listen to what I'm saying, and he's going to give you a long, good life. Verse 11. Now, why doesn't mean you're not going to have issues. Those who live godly shall suffer persecution. But everybody has issues. But we can do this with him, with his wisdom, and we can come out on the other side and say, look what God has done. Verse 11. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. That means hemmed in, made a narrow way. Like wearing a straight jacket. And sometimes you feel like no matter what you do, you can't move here, you can't move there, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like it's like just like life is like you're living in a straight jacket. He says, when thou goest, if you make a lot of the wisdom, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. So sometimes you feel like I just can't move, I just can't get out of here. I'm wearing a straight jacket, and finally you see an open road, and all of a sudden we say, wow, we throw off the straight jacket, if you will, and we start running for all we're worth, and then we still fall down and skin our nose. So no. We can get past that. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Hold fast to her. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by. Don't even go close to it. You see something going on, and how do you know what's wrong? According to the Word of God. You have wisdom. So if that's wrong according to the Word of God, I'm not going to even get close to it. Listen, I know sometimes you feel like, you see people feel like they're kind of going overboard. They're a little overprotective, a little bit this, a little bit that. The fact is, there's the principle. Don't live next to the edge of the mountain. You see pictures where they have a landfall and all of a sudden the house, it looked beautiful as it overlooked the water. And all of a sudden you see this picture and the house is going down off the side of the cliff. It says, don't live next to the mountain, of the edge of the mountain. Don't live so close. It says, don't even go past the path that goes down the wrong way. Because you know what? Sure enough, the end of that path is going to be a sign that says, great pancakes, 1 mile this way. And we think we're going to take a shortcut. You ever see that old I Love Lucy episode where everybody's sleeping, they're going to California, and they're all hungry, and she says she's going to stop and get a shortcut. She goes around, ends up being back to the same old place where the bed bounces across the room when the train goes by and all this stuff. There's no shortcuts. Verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. Verse 16, for they sleep not except those people who are looking for mischief, for they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now watch verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The longer you walk with God, the closer you walk with God, the more the light comes on. The more things become in focus, the clearer it gets. Even though dark may be all around you, all of a sudden you can see through the fog. You can see through the darkness. He says, the way of the wicked is this darkness, and they know not what they stumble. They're falling down. They don't even know what to look at because it's so dark. They didn't see it coming. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What's he saying? The word of God. Be in it every day, every day. Don't let them depart from thine eyes. He says, and let them be in the midst of thine heart. Don't just read it. Get it down in your heart. Day after day after day, watch, for they are life unto those, verse 22, that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, put a hedge around your heart, watch what comes in your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Anybody wants to say, hey, let's go this way instead. Perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Don't listen. When they said, hey, I got a good... No. Look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Watch where you're watching, where you're walking. By the way, you can't watch where you're walking if you're walking in the darkness. You can't see where your feet are. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The problem is sometimes we're turning right to the left because we don't know that we're going right or left. We're walking in the darkness. We're sliding off one way and we can't see it. That's our word of prayer, and we're talking on this morning. Turn on the light. Turn on the light. I'm going to give you the second half of that title at the very end, because I don't want to give it away. First part, turn on the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you that it is light unto us. It's wisdom. It's righteousness. It keeps our heart. And Lord, it gives us life. Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom. Lord, you came in. You're the light of the world. You're the word of God made flesh. And the word, too, is our light. It shows us. It's our road map. It's our path. It's our direction. And Lord, every single one of us, if we're honest, have kind of walked around with our eyes closed from time to time in the darkness. Lord, this is a simple message, but may it be burned very deep into our heart, embedded indelibly imprinted upon our heart, and may we not let it go, so that all the things will fall into place where it should. Lord, be one doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Pray they'll come to know Christ. Now, Lord, speak to us. And Lord, I thank you that you pick us up, clean us off, and send us back on our way. We give you the praise for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen. I have a simple thought this morning. It's so simple that I think we tend to overlook it. The great truth that it contains solves a lot of issues. It saves us from a lot of issues. Some of these statements that I'm going to make will seem so obvious that we're going to feel silly saying them. But the fact of it is that we have failed to walk by them. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, first part of the chapter there, we have the account of David. I'm not going to go through all this. I'll just kind of tell you the story real quick. David had conquered many foes. He was the king of all Israel. And David had a good heart. He was trying to do right. And David said, you know what? We need God's presence in the middle of our nation. And so he decided that they were going to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was one of the main pieces of furniture that was in the tabernacle as they went through the wilderness. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments that had been given to Moses. They were in this Ark. It was an Ark, it was probably 2x2x4. It had some gold rings on it where they put staves in it and they would carry it. And also in the Ark was, at one time, was an omer, a jar of manna. That represented, by the way, the Ten Commandments represents God the Father. Jar of manna, the bread of life, that's Jesus Christ. And then there was the rod of Aaron that budded. And when people were trying to rise up and try to take over, God said, I have anointed Aaron to do the job. In other words, he put my Holy Spirit on him. So they all took the walking sticks they had. Steve Woolley always has a new walking stick. They're really nice. And if you put them in the ground, though, they're not going to grow. They're dead. They're nice walking sticks. In fact, a few of those that have antlers on and stuff like that were in trouble. They started to grow. But anyway, they said, everybody come out and stick your walking stick in the ground. Whichever one starts to bud, comes to life, that's the guy who owns that one, that's the guy we're going to follow. Of course, Aaron's rod was the one that budded. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. So this Ark of the Covenant is a picture of God. And David said, I want God in the middle of our country. He said, I'm the leader, I understand, but God needs to be. So he meant, really, he had a good idea. So they went down to the house of Obed-Edom, And they went down to the house to get it. They went down to this place to get it. So they grabbed a hold of it, and they said, and they had a fellow by the name of Uzzah in Ohio, and they were good boys, and they put it on this cart and headed out to Jerusalem. And David's having a good time. This is a wonderful thing. We're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, if you will, into Jerusalem. And they're going along, and of course, their roads that were down there were a lot like in Pennsylvania, and there were potholes. And so they're coming down the road here, and all of a sudden this cart hits a pothole, and the Ark of the Covenant didn't have it. It kind of reminds me, we were moving her piano the other day. We moved a piano with her from our house to their house, and we put it in the back of the pickup truck, and it fell over. There's a little dent, but Lord spared it. Then it almost fell over again. But anyway, but the straps were on. I don't know whether it had straps in this thing, but the thing started to wobble. And Uzzah was driving. When it says driving, really what it means is he was kind of keeping the animals going on the cart. And the thing started to tilt over. And so, this is an important thing. And so he just puts his hand on it and steadies the ark so it doesn't fall over and break. And dies right there. Now, David meant well, and Uzzah meant well. In fact, it says, David says, come on, God. It says, we have a breach here. We're kind of got a little bit of a tiff going between you and us, and it seems like you started it, God. And so he lets it go. No, that's where he takes it to Obed-Edom and puts it in his house there and finds out that God's blessing and everything's fine. Well, what did we do wrong? So it says in 1 Chronicles 15:11, it says this, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Azariah, and Joel, Shemaniah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, boy, these mothers, they must have hated their kids. Anyway, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Watch. Sanctify yourselves. In other words, set yourself apart to God. Get rid of your own notions, your own thoughts, your own motivations, your own sin. He says, set yourself apart to God. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now we meant well, but we didn't do it according to the rules. We didn't do it the way God has told us to do it. Sometimes the way God tells us to do it seems like overkill. Sometimes it seems unreasonable. Sometimes it seems ridiculous, like it would never work, but that's the way He wants us to do it. It's not whether we understand it or whether we agree with it, but it's the way God has told us to do it. Sometimes it's a little bit harder. In fact, he says, we didn't send you guys down there to get it. Uzzah and Ahio were good guys, but they had no business hauling around the Ark of the Covenant because that's the job of the Levites. God told them, they're the holy tribe, they were the ones who were supposed to do it, and in fact, they weren't supposed to put it on a cart. The Philistines had put it on a cart. But see, they didn't know any better. God says, you know what you're... I've told you how to do it. Follow the rules. Well, I didn't know. It's in the writing. Follow the rules. If we go out and break a law on the road, they're not going to say, well, I never read the book. They're not going to say, oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. No, they're going to say, well, here's your ticket. Go read the book. God says, I'm sorry, but it's in the book. So I can't read. I mean, maybe there's somebody who said, well, I can't literally read. Well, you can come to church. Can you hear? Well, can we put in Braille? What do we need to do? So it says what they're supposed to do is they had these little rings on the side. And they're supposed to put these staves through the ring so you don't touch the ark. And then they lift this thing up and they carry it. Kind of old-fashioned. Kind of a lot of bother. God says, I want you personally to walk with me. Not just kind of have a technology way of sort of worshiping. I want you to walk with me. God had to do something. By the way, when he killed Uzzah, God had to do something that seemed so drastic to us, even unreasonable to us, to get our attention. I want you to do it the way I told you to walk by faith. So David attempts the same action, but this time according to God's instruction, and everything works out fine. Verse 14 in chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, it says, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of the God upon their shoulders and the staves thereon as Moses commanded according to the word of God. All they had to do was do it the way God said to do it. No big deal. They didn't even need a cart. Yeah, the cart's fancy. We had it all decorated up. It was like a parade. I don't want a parade. I want you to do it the way I told you to do it. But this is really nice. I got a great idea. No. Sometimes we're trying to tell God how to do his job. And that's really not my point here this morning. Here's my first point. Ready for this? You can't see in the dark. You're going to find out where I'm headed here in a little bit. This is deep stuff. You can't see in the dark. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You cannot see in the dark. Now somebody will say, well, I can see well enough. But you see, what you're saying that when you can't see, you say, I can see. Well, how do you know if you can see? You may not be able to see what you can't see. We've all done that at nighttime on the way to the restroom. I can see. Ah! See? You see stars. Drunks will say, I can handle my booze. But how do they know? They're half drunk. In fact, the more drunk they get, the more they think they can handle it. So number one, you can't see in the dark. Number two, ready? You don't have to walk in the dark. You don't have to walk in the dark. Now guys are going to help me here. John, would you turn the lights out back there? Brian, you got somebody there? I hate to do this, but I'm going to turn this one off too. Is Mr. Jack back here? Hold on. I'm going to get back to where I'm supposed to be first. Kind of my principle. I'm going to turn Miss Margaret's. All right. Have at it, guys. Ready? Get the last light there. John, that's on you. There's one more back there, John. Can't see it, there even no turn it off, can you? There we go. I tried my best to cover up the back winds, didn't do real well. This is the way I come into this room once in a while on my way. My office is over here. Can you see where? my office is over here on your left. The schoolroom is over on your right. Now, sometimes, you know, how, as you can tell, I don't exercise overly a lot. Of course, you can't tell right now. I look pretty good in the dark. Sometimes I'll cut through the left side exit and go over to the right side exit, and because it's a whole lot quicker to get over there through the schoolroom. And sometimes when it's cloudy, this is about what it looks like. Now, I know this sounds stupid, but the fact is I can see the other exit sign. I see where I'm going. And you know what I do? I actually try to get there. Now, where you're sitting, if you're sitting on the end of the pew, you see there's a little wood thing on the end there? That doesn't go well against your shins. And in fact, it's right about the right size, right height there. Now, the fact is, I can see where I need to go, but I can't see what's between me and there, because I can't see in the dark. Now, folks, you may be able to see where you want to go, but the fact is, you can't see in the dark. Now, here's a dumb thing. Instead of turning the light on, we'll try to get from the left side to the right side. I'm not even going to try to come down the steps and do it. Guys, turn the lights back on. Get the rest of them for me, John. Now watch me. It looks real good. I mean, there's an exit there and there's an exit there. You come in that door and head to that exit, you're going to have bloody shins. Because there's a corner there, there's a corner. Well, I know you're going around, and you're right, but you know what? I never go quite far enough. And I hit that little round spot at the end of the pew. Or if I say, well, I'm going to overcompensate this time and go a little further. Well, then my foot hits the edge of this kneeler over here. Now, you're saying, now, preacher, you got your doctorate degree. You got 4 college degrees. Don't you know to turn a light on when you walk in the room? Yeah, I do. But sometimes you just think, I don't need to bother. I can handle it. And that's how we live our life. You know, we don't have to walk in the dark. You can turn the light on first. Key word, first. We will go out and stumble and beat ourselves to pieces. And then we start looking for the light switch. We will live our life until we have hit rock bottom. We're deep in, we are so deep in debt, we're so deep in our problems, we've messed up our lives, and then we decide to turn the light on. Let me give a couple points here. First of all, you've got to have lights to turn on. Salvation installs the light. Salvation. When we realize we're sinners headed for hell and we need a Savior, it's not in us, it's only in Him. We need a Savior. We trust Christ as our personal Savior. We trust what He did on the cross. He died on the cross and paid for all our sin. All of it. That's the first initial step that turns the light on. John 8:12 says, "Then spoke Jesus again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You got to get saved. Well, I'm a good person. You got to get saved. Well, I'm going to marry this person. They're really good, and I hope they get saved one day. Well, they're still in the dark. Ladies, you say, well, he's a really nice guy. He's in the dark. Ephesians 5:6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of obedience." That's beat up shins, busted nose, Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Basically he's saying, you got the light? Turn it on. Turn it on. Why do you got these bruises on your shins, preacher? Because I walked in there and I thought I could get from one exit to the other exit. I didn't need to turn the light on. I mean, I've done this so many times. I know where that thing is. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord. So salvation installs the light. Opening up God's word turns on the switch. Opening up God's word turns on the switch. I told you this is simple. We don't live here. That's the problem. We don't live here. Psalm 119, 104, and 105. You need to mark it down, put it down, put it in yellow, underline it, put an asterisk next to it or whatever it is. However you say that word. It says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And it goes on and says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Flip the switch. Flip the switch. Open up the book. You realize Uzzah could have enjoyed the day and celebrated with everybody else of bringing the ark into Jerusalem if David, who was given the rules, given the instructions, had read the book. He read it. And they got the ark to Jerusalem. But Uzzah's dead. What do you think Mrs. Uzzah felt like? And all the little Uzzies all around. Grandma Uzzah. Grandpa Uzzah. Yeah, I got the ark into Jerusalem, but Uzzah's dead. I sure wish we had read the book first. Opening up God's word turns on the switch. Getting saved installs the lights. Opening up God's word turns on the switch. Now watch me. The Holy Spirit puts the power in the line. The Holy Spirit of God is what puts the power in the line. John 14, 25, Jesus is speaking. It says, these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You've got to turn on the switch, but you're not the power. I could turn on the switch, but if the power line's out, I still don't have any light. You can build a house and put in all the switches and never hook up the MedEd or Adam, whatever it is that you're on, and you're still living in the dark. John 16, 12 says, again, as Jesus speaking, says, I have yet many things to say unto you. In other words, we don't learn it all at one time. They didn't learn it in 3.5 years living with Jesus. He says, I've got a whole lot more that I want to tell you, but I'm going to heaven. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That's when you install the lights. The things that are, that ye might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We think we can see fine, or at least well enough to get by. The problem is that we can't see what we can't see. We need to turn the light on. We can't see that we can't see it. We are so blind sometimes that we don't know what we cannot see. We can't see in the dark. But we can turn on the light. Install the lights, get saved. Turn the light on by opening up the book. Allow the power to come through the line as you yield to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to teach you from His Word. Brother Burrell said it this morning. There's some things we think are only for the preacher. That's not true. That's a lie from hell. We're a kingdom of priests. We all have access to the Word of God. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in there to teach you. Turn the light on and let the power flow. So listen, if you dwell in me and I in you, because you can do nothing of yourself. Number three, how to make sure the light is always on. And by the way, it won't run up your power bill. It's free. How to make sure the light is on. Would you turn to Psalm 119 real quick? Hang tight with me. This is so simple. Folks, got to turn the light on. Psalm 119, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Why can we walk and not get dirty, undefiled, all dirtied up, bruised up, beat up, falling in the mud? How can we stay out of that? By walking the law of the Lord. What's that say? According to God's rules. That's what it means. Just obey God's rules. Turn the light on. Verse 2, blessed, happy, cared for. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with a whole heart. Let's say it this way. Not only did you read it, but you're taking it with you. I know this, I am OCD. Is that what it is? Obsessive compulsive disorder, there you go. We go someplace, I'll Google map it. I'll take a hard ADC map and then turn on my GPS. We're going to get there one way or another. We were headed someplace the other day, and I said, oh, my soul, I forgot the, we were going down to Granite to take Nathan down there. He's going to be with the Neighborhood Bible Tom all summer. And I've been there a couple times, but I had my Google map printed out there, you know. And I got in the car, sat down. Oh, man, it's up there on the desk. So I had to walk back up because I wanted to take my directions with me. I want just the fact that I say, and you know what? Dr. Shelton Smith, the editor of the Sword of the Lord, love him to death. This is years ago. He said, hey, would you go down with me to the Baltimore Rescue Mission? I'm going to preach. Would you sing? I said, sure. He said, you meet me at the church at so-and-so time. We'll hop in a car. You drive. If he was going to preach, he never wanted to drive. This is the way he was. You drive. And I'm driving his big car. I was pretty classy. Anyway, he says, you drive. I got in the car. I said, do you know how to get there? Because I got a map in my car. I said, oh, we'll be fine. Dr. Shelton Smith of the Sword of the Lord. Well, we got down to 83. He said, I know it's down there. He said, you just go down 83. It kind of bottoms out there in the city. We'll find it. So we got down there. Now, I don't know if any of you folks know where we're talking about there in Baltimore City. But if you get on the wrong road, there's this place called The Block. Red lights and the whole thing. And we took a wrong turn. And here's these two men in business suits in a big car driving down the block looking for signs, looking. It did look like we were shopping. And he says, I know it's down here. And so we went through that. Well, we got out of there. We went down. He said, turn it around here. He says, I know it's here. We went down the block again. We looked around. We got down to the end of this and right. We came around. Of course, you got the one-way streets and this and that other thing. And when we got on the block the third time, I said, Doc, we got to do something. So we'll go down here. So I turned. It was a one-way street going the other way. Now, I love him, and he walks by the book most times, but doesn't go by the map. He says, they also do know it. He said, blessed are they that keep his testimony, and they seek him with a whole heart. They keep it. They walk by it. They take it with them. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Keep the map right there with you. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. Yeah, boy, won't go down the block the third time. Won't end up down a one-way street going the wrong way. Then I will not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with an uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Boy, I'll say amen when we finally get to that place, you know, without having going down the wrong way. I will keep thy judgments, thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Watch. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you get cleaned up if you mess yourself up? By taking heed unto according to thy word. Turn the light on. You can't even clean yourself up if you got the lights off. You don't even know how dirty we are with the lights off. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. My title of my message was Turn the Lights On. Here's the second half. Before you take the first step. Turn the lights on before you take the first step. Psalm 1 tells us to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but our delight is to be in the law of the Lord, and in His law we should meditate day and night. Second Peter 1, you've heard me quote it all over and over and over again. He says that we're supposed to add to diligently add to our faith virtue and virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance and temperance patience and patience godliness and godliness brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither be barren nor unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things, he that hasn't opened the word of God, is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Number 4 is a question. Why risk the hurt, the heartaches, and the scars? We all have our share, but we don't need any more. Young folks, don't say, well, everybody has their share, so I'll get my share first. You don't have to get all scarred up. You just don't. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. See, they don't even have lights installed, much less have a switch to turn on and power to the switch. They can't help but walk in darkness. But you've got the lights installed. You've got a switch to open up. The power is there waiting for you to say, give it to me, Lord. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness? But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and ye be renewed rechanged, regenerated, empowered, that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, change the way you're thinking, reprogram your decision maker, and that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Many people go to God, they go to church, they go to the Bible looking for answers after they get into trouble, after they hit the hard times, after the problems come, after they start hurting, after they've messed up their lives, after the marriage is broken, after the kids have run away from God, after they made the boss angry, after they've ruined their health. They stumble through life not knowing at what they stumble. They hit their shins. They break a toe or two. They stumble and fall. They hit their head. They bust their nose open. Get poked in the eye. But I want to do it my way. Oh, the stupid, hard-headed way, right? Yeah, I know a lot about that. It doesn't work well. Finally, they wind up in the briars, wounded and bleeding, and the light comes on. How in the world did I get here? How did I get here? They're wandering through life, stumbling over, they know not what. And what they simply need to do is turn the light on. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp that I might not sin against thee. Listen, we go to the word after sin. The problem of sin brings forth death. And if we don't turn the light on soon, we may be dead before we know it. James 1:14 says this, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust conceived and bringeth forth sin, and sin which is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Number five. God can forgive us for walking in the dark. Aren't you glad for God? God can forgive us for walking in the dark. Look, 1 John 1:1 says this. That which was from the beginning, 1 John 1:1, back in the Revelation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and with our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was from, with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It's not joys that have beat up shins. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. So the closer you get to Him, the less darkness there is, the more light there is. And in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Oh, I'm right. God and I, we're just like that. Well, have you turned on the light recently? Have you told the power station to turn on the power? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Take care of it. Just keep confessing it. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. And we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word's not in us. Just read the book. We'll find out we've already taken a few wrong turns. So God can forgive us for walking in the dark. Number six, God can heal the wounds we received while walking in the darkness. So I blew it big. It's not over. Are you still alive? The blood's still flowing. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray humble yourself. That's a big one. I took once. How many times, ladies, does your husband say, "I know how to get there"? Well, don't worry about it. I don't need a map. Turn that lady on the GPS off. I don't want to hear that thing anymore. Humble ourselves. Seek his face. Pray. Utter dependence upon him. And turn from our wicked way. You know what I'm saying? God said, "You've been going this way." God said, "This way, so I need to turn." Anything that's not of God is wicked. Then will I hear from heaven and will heal your land. Luke 4:17 says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." This is what Jesus said. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." These are all the people who have been walking in darkness. "To preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He says, "Listen, I can heal your wounds. I know you've been walking in darkness. I know it's been a mess and you're hurting, but I can fix it." Lastly, if the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, then we need to turn on the lamp before we take a step. Before I head down some path, and I need to make sure the light's on. The bright lights of the world is not the direction we want to go. Matthew 7 says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there go, which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I've refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from the judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Instead of missing the mark, that's what sin means. I should get the light on, hide the word of God in my heart so I don't sin, so I don't miss the mark. I can do a lot of damage just shooting in the dark. A shot in the dark is not usually a good thing. A shot in the dark can easily hurt me and everyone else around me. I think there are way too many people who live their lives just taking shots in the dark. They'll try this and then they'll try that, and yet they wonder why they're getting little accomplished and cause a lot of collateral damage. Turn the light on before you take the first step. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. Simple principle, very valuable precept. I want our folks to have a blessed life, to feel, have the joy of the Lord being full in their life. But we got to do all three steps. We got to install the lights and get saved. We got to open, we gotta turn a switch on by opening the Word of God. And then we need to make sure the power's on by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that our folks will turn the light on before they take another step. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you don't know for sure if you died, you go to heaven. You don't have that settled. You need to do that first. I wish God would tell me which way to go. He will, but you got to install the light fixtures. You got to get saved. Some of you maybe have not been turning the light on. You started out the day, you never flipped the switch. You never even turned the light switch, or you never opened that book. You have it available, but you're not making use of it. Maybe you need to make some holy vows here this morning. I'm going to open the Word of God. I'm going to live by the Word of God. And by the way, when we do that and things go sour, we have every right to go to the throne of grace and say, God, I did what you asked me to do. What's next? Or do I simply need to stand still and see your salvation? But you'll have a peace that passes understanding when you know you've done all you should do. Some of you they pick up the book and you just kind of read through it, and it's just like a novel to you. I want you to take your heart before you read the book. Say, Lord, I don't know what I need to know, but you do. Give me today what I need today. Turn the lights on where they need to be on today for me. And you just stay at it. You'll be surprised how the light becomes brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. Otherwise, we'll live our lives not knowing at what we stumble. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.